6:45, Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Thanks for joining us to get your work week started here on a Monday morning. Saw a guy walking on the interstate in the 4 o'clock hour this morning in the left lane on the Carrollton overpass. At some point, he was going to have to cross over the lanes of traffic one way or the other. And I almost called 911, but then I chose not to. One person texts and says I made the right decision. Quote, let him live his life. The police will only make things worse if they even show up. But somebody else texted in and said, you should have called 911. You may have saved a life. Well, we haven't heard about a fatality, thank goodness, but I understand your point, and I was kind of torn. Keep the text coming at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We saw another challenger announce he is going to jump in the race to face Bill Cassidy next year in the midterm elections for the U.S. Senate. John Cuvion is a Louisiana-based pollster, founder of JMC Analytics and Polling, and joins us on the live line. Morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show.
Glad that you're here. How is this race shaping up for Bill Cassidy's seat, and why is he facing so much opposition as an incumbent?
Sure. So basically what's happened, we have to go back in time to January 2021, when after Bill Cassidy got comfortably reelected in 2020, seeking President Trump's support, he then turned around and voted for the conviction of President Trump. And one of the things I've seen in politics is every now and then there's that one vote that you make that you can never explain or spin away. Going back in time, for former Senator Mary Landrieu, that was her Obamacare vote in 2010. For Dr. Cassidy, it was the impeachment slash conviction vote. So that has been the genesis of all his problems. I would also make the argument the other thing, which despite what pundits said has not helped him, was his ultimate vote on RFK Jr., because the thing about it was he did it and played Solomon, when that's the kind of vote where, regardless of where you ultimately fell on favoring or opposing him, you should have come out early and said, this is where I stand. So a combination of those two things, as well as primary voters are more restless against their incumbents, and specifically here we're talking about Republican primary voters, because one thing that's going to be different about next year's primary is that instead of it being in November, the legislature changed the law to where now only Republicans and independents and unaffiliateds can vote in a Republican primary. So right away, the most progressive, liberal, Democratic vote of about 35%. They're out of the picture with regards to this primary that'll be in April. So it's a culmination of all those things.
You know, you pointed out that Obamacare vote may have been what ultimately did in Mary Landrieu and why she is no longer a U.S. senator. Her days were probably numbered anyway in an increasingly red state in Louisiana as a Democrat. Could this also, the vote to convict on impeachment of Trump in his first term, ultimately spell the end of Dr. Cassidy's term as a U.S. senator from Louisiana?
My attitude is anything is possible in the world of politics, but then there's the second part of the picture. So there's really two halves to this coin here. There is the fundraising part, which we'll talk about shortly, but there's also the polling part. And so I had recently conducted a poll, and full disclosure, it was at the behest of Dr. Fleming. This poll showed that, and I've been polling it every few months, this poll showed that a previous poll deficit that Dr. Fleming had, where he was behind Bill Cassidy 32% versus 34%, Dr. Fleming has now pulled into a 36% to 29% lead over Bill Cassidy. And even what I would argue is more ominous for Senator Cassidy is the fact that if you look purely at registered Republicans, which is basically the base of those who would vote in April, Dr. Fleming's lead stretches to 42-29 lead. So the biggest issue for Dr. Cassidy, or Senator Cassidy, in my opinion, is the fact that no matter how I polled him in various ballot test configurations, he was stuck in the low to upper 20s, and that's pretty bad for a two-term incumbent senator.
Indeed. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about that fundraising aspect and the challenges that Dr. Senator Cassidy faces going forward with these numbers continuing to slide and with his offending the Trump base with that single vote. We'll also look at who else is now jumping in the race and how many more candidates there may be. We're back with John Cuvion after this check on WWL Traffic. talking with John Cuvion about the upcoming U.S. Senate race next year. Incumbent Bill Cassidy is now facing 10 challengers. And do you expect that he's going to face more as this race continues to unfold, John?
So what's interesting about that is I would expect more, but the question then becomes the quality of those challengers, because there's a couple of realities here that would impede a major entry after now, and that is with an April primary, then you're talking about January qualifying, which means any serious candidate, because this is, of course, a statewide race, but any serious candidate really needs to be jumping in right about now, because not just the time it takes to raise money, but the fact that now you're going to have these little mini primaries. And by primaries, I'm talking about every quarter you have campaign finance reports that are due, and political observers do study those fairly exhaustively as a way of telling if they think someone is healthy or not. And so, like I said, the clock to me is rapidly running out for someone serious to jump into that race.
Now, Louisiana Public Service Commissioner Eric Scrametta jumped in last week, joining other would-be challengers that have a real shot. Louisiana Treasurer John Fleming, who you noted is paying you to do some polling, and State Senator Blake Miguez. What are those campaign finance reports telling us right now?
So what's interesting about them, and I'm going to give the kind of, the disclaimer, which probably is not permissible political discourse. If campaign finance reports are certainly a good way for assessing the health and or viability of a campaign. But where I'm going to go off course here is say the name of the game, in my opinion, is not necessarily who has more, but who has enough. But having given that disclaimer, let's give some numbers. So Senator Cassidy does lead with $10.8 million, which that's certainly enough to run for this and probably another campaign if he wanted. Then we have Dr. Fleming, who has $2.1 million in the bank. State Senator Blake Miguez broke out with $1.7 million.
Wow, that's kind of surprising to me that he's got that much.
Yes, and what's interesting about that is the interesting thing, redundancy here, right? When you're talking about what political observers look at, that first quarterly report that you put out after you jump in is going to be scrutinized, because if you're running for statewide office, and let's pretend you only have $20,000 in the bank, which another candidate named Sammy Wyatt has, that $20,000, that's not enough for a state house race, much less a U.S. Senate race. So when Blake Miguez makes a splash with $1.7 million, $1 million of which was a loan, that is something that catches people's attention that, okay, this guy's serious. And one of the things that Eric Scrametta, who just jumped in, did, which in my opinion was fairly smart, was he waited until after the quarter's end to jump in. That way he's bought himself 3 months of time in terms of people going to be curious how much money he's raised. But that also means that Eric Scrametta has to post some really good numbers come mid-October, because he's going to be measured by what Miguez raised, what Fleming raised, and what by Senator Cassidy raised. So, like I said, even though I'm of the opinion that having enough to compete, and by that metric, we're talking about a Cassidy-Miguez-Fleming race, still, people do look at, okay, well, this person has $8 million more than the competitor, which, it's good for bragging rights, but I'd also remind you that back in the Landrieu-Cassidy race of 2014, Mary Landrieu similarly had $10 million, which was more than what Bill Cassidy had. And yet Bill Cassidy still beat her by 12 points.
You can't buy an election. You have to have the other factors as well. We've run out of time. Thank you, John. I know we'll be talking to you a lot about this race and others before the actual election. Hey, I got another one of those texts that looked like it was from the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles warning that I had to pay them some money. So we're going to have the OMV deputy commissioner on after the news. Is it a scam?